Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, for listening each and every week. We're on a number of different stations in a number of different places. 5 stations, 3 states, 10 podcasts, and we're also on YouTube and Podclips.io. All of these places, we put up shows. We have 3 different types of shows we use. We use a radio program, which we segment into 10-minute pieces that we put up in all those places. We also use the how-to videos, what's a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, what are the 5 best ways to get an agent, you know, things like that, things that in 5 minutes you can learn something that you can use right then, right that day. And then, of course, the third part of our triumvirate of things that we put up is the Mortgage Minute, which really, as I was told by my wife the other day, is really 5 minutes. So it's kind of the Mortgage 5 minutes, but we call it the Mortgage Minute because it's a little bit more alliteration and I just happen to like the name. So of these 3 things that we put up on all these places, we want you to get educated as to what's happening. Summer of 2021 is happening right now, or soon to be thereof. We're almost to the 21st of June. The summer solstice is happening. And anybody who's looking to buy a house will tell you how hot it already is because there's lack of inventory. And those people who are looking for a loan will tell you that we're worried about rising interest rates. Now, on the Mortgage Minute show the other day, I talked about why the rates themselves are doing what they do. Now, most people just look up online, best rate today, right? And there are a number of firms out there, mine included, Malibu Funding, who sponsors the show. They also have a website that touts rates, and everybody who is touting a rate wants you to obviously get in touch with them, so they try to sell you on the best and lowest. Well, each person out there has their own needs within a loan. Some people who think that the rate is the optimum thing that they're looking for don't qualify for that rate. So if you're getting pulled in by an advertisement that says, we have the best rates, we have the lowest rates, you got to come to us. You know what? It may not be the best. Now, I've said on the show many times, I'll say it again today, you got to shop around. You got to find a person who understands you and your situation. Obviously, best rates is a good way to go, and it's a good place to start. If you do shop around and you find somebody you like to work with, or it's a referral, or, you know, I mean, everybody knows somebody who's doing mortgages. I mean, it's just that kind of business where you can make good money in the good times, and the bad times, you got another job. But if you're out there and you found that person and you want to be able to, you know, see where they're at, start with rates. Say, hey, look, I saw this rate online. Is it possible for my situation? The loan person who will talk to you will walk you through the steps of what you need in order to determine whether you qualify for that particular mortgage. Usually, in a general sense, we look for several things within the loan itself, right? We look for, obviously, who you are, where you go to work, how much money do you make, and what's your credit score. All of these things are, you need those things or you can't get anywhere with the loan process. Once those things are given to a loan person, a loan officer, then they will give you a loan estimate. And that loan estimate will give you, okay, rate and term and costs and all the things specific to that particular loan. Now, there is the rate of the loan itself and there's the APR. The APR is all the other costs associated with the loan put on top of the loan amount itself. And then that true percentage rate of it, especially if you're borrowing closing costs or you're borrowing some of that money on top of the loan, then you'll get a true interest rate as to what your APR is. Usually it's between 0.25 and 0.5 point. And a lot of times it's a lot less than that, an eighth, you know, even a 16th. And what we like to try to do is to get the costs for those loan as down as much as possible. Now, in some ways, 2 ways that can be done. You can have a little bit higher rate and get the money that you need for the closing costs credited to you from the lender. That happens all the time. Or you can come out of pocket so that you don't have to, I guess, finance those particular costs. Both of those things are done all the time in the business. But when we talk about rates themselves and how we get to rates, yeah, that's what the show does, and that's how we try to help you figure out where you want to go and what you want to do with your loan. So in speaking of rates, let's just talk about today's rates. 30-year fixed rate is at 3.12. The 15-year is at 2.52. The FHA loan is at 2.67, and the jumbo is at 3.18, and the 5/1 ARM is at 2.25. People ask me, what's the difference between a 15-year fixed and a 5/1 ARM? Well, in this scenario, it's about a quarter point. So that's what you need. If you're in a situation where you're going to move in 5 years, or you're not quite sure whether this is going to be your house, your dream house, but you may hold on to it and rent it out, well, you can do a number of things with a 5/1 ARM. It's a little bit cheaper. Obviously, upfront costs are going to be a little bit cheaper, as well as the long term, if you go with a 5/1 product. Now, the variable interest rates over the last 5 to 10 years have been very much in lockstep with what the 30-year fixed rate loan is. However, in this scenario, which we quoted today, quarter point less than the 15, that's pretty good. It's a little bit higher than the 30-year fixed. But the 30-year fixed is, that's a great product, but you may not fit into that particular box. So all of these things are what your loan officer has to look at, and they have to look at you. Start with the rate, go with the rate until they figure out what your particular situation is. And when we're talking about that, a couple of ways that you can really affect what your rate is and how good your loan can be. One is your credit score. Now, you have control over that credit score. I don't have control over that credit score. And certainly, people around you, credit score has a direct relationship to how you pay your bills. Do you pay them on time? How much do you have on your credit cards? How much do you owe? And are you a credit-worthy candidate for a mortgage loan? We talked about credit, and we talked about how credit is determined by the three major agencies, TRW, Equifax, and TransUnion. All three of these bureaus get reported to them, but they all don't get reported to them equally, i.e., let's say you're paying rent to a landlord. The landlord is a single person. He's got one unit, and he's renting to you. Does that landlord submit your monthly payments on the rent to the credit bureaus? Chances are no. So that's a negative. If you are in a situation like that and you're thinking of buying something in 6 months, get the landlord to do it, or contact the one or all three of the credit bureaus and ask them how you can do it. Because this is a great way by which you can prove you are credit worthy. If in fact you have other negative factors on your credit, this will really help you boost your credit score. The other thing is, when paying your debt and when paying down on your credit cards, think and keep this thought in mind, 30%. If you have a $1,000 credit limit and you are charging on your credit cards more than $300, that's a negative. If you keep it 30% or less on a $1,000 credit limit, that's a positive. You want to have as many positives in your favor as possible. Obviously, paying your bill on time is the number one criteria to be able to boost your credit score, right? Paying on time. But you want to make sure that the amount that you can borrow is at its greatest value to you on your credit score. Now, I understand the way things are. The COVID situation has hurt a lot of borrowers. Obviously, if you're out there and you use your credit card to get by for the first few months and you are now trying to pay them down, I understand. These credit events, however, will affect your ability to get a loan or at the rate that you want it to. There's a loan out there for most every borrower. If you can repay, the other portion of this particular conversation is the ability to repay. Can you repay that loan? How much money do you make? And can you show that you're going to make that money for the term of the loan? Well, you can't prove it, right? It's not like a you can't go out there and guarantee it, but a reasonable person looking at someone who's worked at a place for 10 years, probably assume you probably work there for another 10 or 15 years or can get a job very similar to that, especially with the income that you're currently making. That's what we look at. We look at your credit score. We look at your ability to repay the loan. If you can repay the loan, regardless of your credit score, you probably have a loan out there. It's just going to change the rate by which you're going to pay. All of these things affect you on a daily basis, especially in a market like this. You want to talk to somebody, Get your ducks in a row before you even make that order. We talk about it all the time, but it's a way to go, the way to go. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Really appreciate you listening today, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. Each and every week, we bring to you information about mortgages, about rates, about what you can do or what you can't do, what to look for. All these things are very, very important. However, if you can't find us, you don't know where you're going to get the information. We're on 5 different stations in 3 different states. We're in the Inland Empire in Southern California, a couple of different stations there. We're in the Tahoe area at K-Tahoe up there. Love the Tahoe people. And you know what, Daryl? We got to get somebody. You know what? Send me a list of people because we got to get somebody up there.
I know. I have a couple of people in mind.
Excellent. Perfect. Also, we're down in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're going to get a couple more of these Albuquerque terrific guests on the show, either talk about mortgages or the real estate. And by the way, the real estate's really hot down there, too. And we're also in Las Vegas, Nevada, AM 1400. And I love the people in Nevada. Nevada's on fire as well. We're on 10 different podcasts. Daryl, do you have a list of some of those for us?
I do, Jeff. It's Apple Podcasts, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and Podclips.io.
Podclips.io is a new place where you can go for a lot of different podcasts, and I'm on that in the financial section. But they, you know, they have all kinds of lifestyle and health and sports and financial. That's what I'm on. So go there. It's great. You'll enjoy it. Also, we're on YouTube. Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. That's our YouTube channel. We'll have this as well as hundreds of other shows. Daryl, how many are we up to now on for you?
This is show number 264. Oh. So if you divide by 52, that says 5 plus years.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so archive-wise, it's interesting to see some of the past shows, but the guests we have on. Now, we have Charles Giscombe on the phone right now waiting, and he's been on the show probably 50 times. We love having him on because of his energy, his excitement, and his ability to be able to talk to you about what's going on in the loan business. Charles, welcome you again today. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me as always.
Okay, man. Thank you very much. Now, I wanted to talk quickly about, I know that you also dabble a little bit in house flipping. How is that market now? And do you see it changing? Do you see the market, because prices are increasing so heavily, pricing out some of the flip business?
Well, yeah, actually, what has happened is the frenzy has caused these accounts and the different houses to appreciate so much. And a lot of times, you know, people can't get into the market into what they normally wouldn't be able to get into because it's such a bidding war and a frenzy. And at the end of the day, I don't see that ending any short time soon. We do know that the moratorium will come up. There'll be some properties that will be available. But once again, that will also be a frenzy because the individuals that were able to keep money and make money will also have the ability to jump into the game. A lot of times, the only way to win some of these bids is to go in cash. But if you have a friendly neighborhood Malibu funding agent close by, they can possibly help you structure some deals to get you into some deals so that you can win some of these bids and get into the market.
Okay, now I know that there are just under 2 million people still in the forbearance world, and it ends at the end of the year. Now, the rental forbearance or the rental moratorium, that ends at the end of July. Some of these programs at certain lenders, depending on whether they're Fannie or Freddie or private, end also at the end of the month. And you're saying it's possible we might see some additional housing on the market, but what are really the – I mean, because people – you know how people are. They just want to sit around and wait. Your advice to them is to wait or to try to get into something that's really sure?
No, I'll tell you right now, if you have an opportunity to give in, even get in the market, even though the prices are a little bit high, you should jump in because the interest rates are still at a good point.
Right.
And you never know. There's going to be people bidding upon bidding. And you can't really count on the moratoriums because obviously the banks will dictate exactly how that situation happens and when things will be released and the properties will be available. If you're in a place where you have an opportunity, there's some properties. A lot of people have been buying things sight unseen,
yep,
and as is, just because it's so competitive. But if you have an opportunity, at this particular point in time, it is, there's no perfect time, but it's still a good time for you to get into the market.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some programs. What do you see in the marketplace as popular, and what do you think is a good product for a home buyer who may not necessarily have the best credit?
Well, I'm so glad that you asked that, because when we talk a lot, we talk about different loans. Obviously, Malibu Funding can do it all. We're a one-stop shop. We can do traditional Fannie, Jenny, Freddie. We can do it all. There's private money, hard money. One of the bigger loan products and programs and trends that have been occurring throughout the industry is the non-QM. We talked about the non-QM, and what is that? Non-qualified mortgage. These are mortgages that allow investors to get in, or individuals to get into the market with less than perfect credit, and with if they don't have all the documentation that it would normally take for a traditional loan to qualify. So that would mean your tax returns, your paycheck stubs, the things of that nature that are required. A lot of individuals since the pandemic and before that time went to entrepreneurship. A lot of times when you go do that, or you're working for yourself, the documentation as well as the tax returns aren't going to be as favorable as they normally are if you're working a W-2 job. But because of non-QM loans, there's no longer an issue for you to be afraid or to believe that you don't have options or opportunity to get in. Non-QMs allow individuals to qualify with just your bank statements or profit and loss statements or 1099, in some cases stated loans where you can state it. As long as you have the APR, which is the ability to repay, for those of you who don't know, that is, I have the ability to repay, which means I can get into the market. And you don't need the highest credit scores to get in. There are some programs that go as low as 620 that will allow you to get into this type of loan. So now it's based upon, can you qualify? Is your credit good enough to meet the minimum standards or requirements? If you have income, if you're showing income, whether it's bank statements, whether it's profit and loss statements, through your CPA, if you do have tax returns or don't have tax returns, there's a number of different ways for you to qualify from an income or financial standpoint. And the last and most important thing for non-QM loans is the property going to perform? Is it going to value out? If those things can be met, then you can get into a loan. And we would love to help you at Malibu Funding. If you have any questions about non-QM loans or what they are exactly, and non-QM loan versus traditional loan, we're, you know, always willing to help people earn while they learn.
Hey, tell me a little bit of something. You talked about valuation, appraisals. Appraisals have been kind of tough because I guess they're just so busy that they're bidding out appraisals and waiting for either a higher amount to come in to do the appraisal, or they're just not really coming through at all. I'm specifically thinking about loans that we've done down in Arizona. We've had a devil of a time trying to get appraisals on them. Are you seeing that all over the market, or is that just there?
Absolutely, everywhere. Some places are obviously better than others, but even down in the Carolinas and different places,
right,
they're actually telling you that they're going to have to wait for 14 days.
Wow.
Even other appraisers that they're calling to add to these to the AMCs are saying, I have more business than I can handle, and I can't do them. So a lot of times you're seeing appraisals that would normally cost $450, $500, $600, $800. Those prices being doubled on rush just for an appraisal to look at this and accept the offer. So that's exactly what's been happening in this market. So, you know, a lot of times buyers, individuals, clients get frustrated, but this market is such still in the frenzy, Jeff, that the market is dictating every aspect of home buying, investment buying, and things of that nature. It's influenced by, everything's influenced by it, and that's why the appraisers are so busy now. Don't have enough time in the day to get all these appraisals done.
Yeah, it just seems, it doesn't just seem. Obviously, if you're in a contract and it's a 30-day contract and you've got a squeeze on an appraisal, it's not even going to get done for 14 days. It really puts a crimp on that 30-day. Well, what are the clients doing? Are they just getting extensions? Are they saying up front? Because they're competing with other people who don't have that particular issue if it's all cash.
Well, you know what, Jeff? Usually what happens with lenders is they have multiples of appraisal management companies that they would utilize. So, and sometimes even on some submission forms, you can select an appraisal management company that you want to go to. In some cases, I see lenders that they're getting right through, and I don't know if that's for preference or whatever it is. I have no idea, or is it just the region that you're in? But In those cases, you have to let them know. Yeah, we can do a 30-day because normally from a financing aspect, that's more than enough time for us to get our job done, to get all the proper documentation in place to get the individuals to qualify. Now, what we can't control is we can't control appraisal. And even if you pay for a rush, it's not guaranteed that it'll be done in that particular time. So usually what I do is I tell them, when you're writing your contract, you may want to talk to the individual, the seller's agent, and the sellers, and let them know that the due diligence normally would be this time, but if you could add some additional time for due diligence, we obviously will try to get that done underneath that time. But if we can't, please don't fault it to us. The market is just dictating the time frame that it takes for these things to get done.
Hey, Chuck, that's excellent information. We're up against the clock. Shout out how people can get in touch with you if they need a great loan in many different places that you work.
Thank you so much. Yes, you can get in contact with me at 702-328-5191. Again, 702-328-5191. Or you can reach me on email. That's charles@malibufunding.biz. That's charles@malibufunding.biz.
Chuck, thank you very much once again coming on the show, talking about some, you know, obviously things that are pressing and needed. Really appreciate it.
Jeff, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Thanks for listening each and every week. Sometimes we get on the show and we get on a roll about what we're talking about the different programs or what makes up rate and how credit scores are used and all kinds of programs. So we like to continue to bring new and fresh information, especially people that we've never had on the show before. And today is no exception. We bring to the show for the first time. Now, we tried to get Parzad on before, but wasn't able to. Parzad Razi from N2 Funding is on the show today. She joins us now. Parzad, how are you?
Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Thank you very much. It's kind of hot where we are. How about yourself?
Yes, it's a very hot day.
Yes, it is.
That's for sure.
Yes, it is. Okay, speaking of hot, real estate market is on fire. The mortgage market is still very, very strong because rates are what they are. We don't know how long any of this will last, but how are you taking care of the clients or the brokers that give you a call and are looking for certain types of programs? Tell us about N2 Funding, what kind of programs you do, like that. Appreciate it.
Sure, of course. Thank you for having me on the show.
Sure.
It's going great. It's definitely going great, and we have, you know, amazing team of seasoned people, seasoned operations, as well as underwriting. And, you know, of course, last year it was extra hot, so we're all, of course, very, very
right.
busy. But the past few months, it's toned down a bit where we can take excellent care of everyone, and the turn times are great. I have approvals coming out, in a day.
Great.
Two CCs in a day. I mean, loans are moving quickly.
Excellent. Okay. Well, what are the main programs that you do? Do you do traditional Fannie Freddie loans? Are you doing in the non-QM space? Where are you?
Yes. So as of now, Jeff, we're only doing traditional loans, conventional, FHA, VA, CalHESPA.
Mm-hmm.
However, we are going to be bringing on board non-QM as well as jumbo. We did have those programs prior to COVID funding. Of course, with many others, they went into pause. Our company's been a little bit delayed in getting those back, but we wanted to fine-tune it really well, so those are on the way. But we do offer, you know, as you said, conventional FHA and VA. With FHA and VA, Jeff, we do go down as low as 500 FICO score. That's a little bit unique in comparison to the other lenders.
Yes,
and
it is.
And also we do manual underwriting as well.
Well, you would have to with a 500 credit FICO score, right? There's no AUS in there. Tell us a little bit about your manual underwriting system. Obviously, someone with a 500 credit score is risk. Do they pay more in rate?
Yes.
How does it all work?
Yes. So, kid you not, I actually had an AUS approval with a 503 score.
Wow.
We were surprised, but it does happen. So it is
okay.
Possible.
Okay, good.
Of course, yes, there are some criteria when it comes to the manual underwriting. You can't have any mortgage, only two mortgage rates in the past 24 months. And then as well as the DTI is different. It's kind of a cascading system, which starts in the 30s, but we do go 40 up front, 50 max back end.
Okay.
Income ratio. And those are pretty much it, as well as 3 months reserves usually with those. But other than that, it's pretty good. You know, as long as you have like an understandable credit profile.
And that'd be on an FHA loan, right?
Yes, that's FHA.
Okay. Now FHA loans getting sold to Ginnie Mae, that particular loan product. Now, for some reason, I thought the credit score, the least you could have was a 580 credit score. You're saying down to 500, which to me, there's a huge pool of borrowers out there who need that particular loan.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
don't shy away from the AUS approvals. I've actually had them at 550, 560 without even having to do manual underwriting.
Wow, that's terrific. Now, the rate that you pay on that particular loan with FHA, now, correct me if I'm wrong, does FHA care about your credit score really? I mean, isn't the rate the same if you have a 700 versus a 500, or is that a myth?
It's a myth.
Okay, good.
There is an adjustment. You're right as far as FHA is very good with their rates and doesn't have hardly any adjustments. However, there is an adjustment when it comes to FICO scores. And so with that, between 500 to 550, you're with a 200 points added. But with the FHA lower rates, though, it's not going to sound as high as one thinks, because ultimately their rates are lower than conventional, so it's still going to seem like the going market rate.
Well, if you have a credit score, which indicates obviously that you've had difficulties, either some credit event or you have just, not lost a job or something, you're saying to the world, obviously, okay, I have bad credit, but I want a loan. Now, that usually people are very grateful to get any loan. So you're saying that, let's say today's, regular 30-year fix is 3%, and you got to add 2 points to that, so it would be 5% for an FHA loan down to 500 credit score. Is that what you're saying?
No, and thank you for asking that question. The 200 points I'm referring to is a price adjustment, so it's not off the rate, it's off the pricing.
I see. Okay, well, explain that. What do you mean off the pricing? Explain that for people, because I think when we try to look at adjustments and how we talk about it in the industry, the people who are listening to the show go, I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, of course. Got you. Well, basically, let's just make it easy. Let's take 3% at 100 points. Let's say the pricing is 100. 100 is par rate. So if we pull up a rate sheet and 3% is at 100, that means it's par. That's what you're getting. There's no credit to that rate, and there's no points to charge you for that rate. Now, let's say if the 3 rate, you pull it up based on today's rate, and it's at 99, that means that 3% rate is going to cost you 1%.
Right.
And take the opposite of that. If it's 101, that 3% rate based on today's rate is going to give you 1% of credit.
Okay.
So, yeah. Typically, let's just throw it out an example. Don't quote me on the numbers.
No. This is all hypothetical. But, go ahead.
Perfect. Let's say on average, 2.75 or 2.875 will give someone a 2.5% credit.
Right.
Well, if you are being hit with that 200
basis
adjustment,
points. Right.
Then you're not getting credit basically for those rates. You'll land around 2.87 par, or 3% for the FHA rate. Now, for your borrowers, there is the comp factor, of course, for the lender. So that doesn't mean they're going to go find these rates at no cost. So let's say 3.25, 3.125, or whatnot, because there's details involved with all these figures.
So really, they have to come to the table with 2 points. Of the loan amount. If the loan amount's $100,000, they got to bring $2,000. If it's $300,000, they got to bring $6,000. Yeah. That's really what you're saying.
Exactly. Oh. Unless you're getting the rate and it's covering the cost for you. So there's that option too. For the people who don't have the cash to bring in, the rate could cover the cost in it as well.
Okay, so there are a lot of options for somebody, not only offering them a loan at a credit score, which is quite traditionally impossible to get a loan, but you're also offering them different ways to finance charges that it costs them to do so, either in the rate or they bring in the money. And which I think for somebody who is in that position, who's just looking to get a loan, and really the rate's still pretty good, right? I mean, you're going to get a 3% or whatever it is rate, whatever the current rate
is.
Yeah.
Definitely. Rates are great right now. I remember back in the days when WaMu had 7.25 and we thought that was
unbelievable that you bring up WaMu.
For borrowers.
Oh, my gosh. We did so many loans with Washington Mutual back in those days. And this is not, what's that going back, 10 years, 15 years ago? Yeah, we did a lot of loans. So where have you all been in terms of, you've been into funding for some time?
Well, I've been into funding actually started end of 2019. And but it was started by a group of by our owner, who's been seasoned owner of Encore before, and a lot of history. And so, but we're a newer company.
Yep.
We're a mid-sized lending company. And personally, myself, I actually was a loan officer for most of my career, and I went into the wholesale side just a couple years ago. So I'm newer to wholesale, and I take my lending, you know, loan officer retail experience with me, and I love it. I feel like I'm in my element. I've gone through so many shifts in the industry,
right.
You know, the ups and downs. I actually started off in 99 being a realtor as well as a loan officer.
Okay.
And
right.
So my approach to every loan is from the standpoint of the customer, because every, you know, borrower customer, like their treatment, you know, referrals, and making sure everyone's well taken care of.
Oh, that's excellent. Listen, we have a little bit of time left. Could you let people know how they might be able to get in touch with you if they have some questions on the program you talked about today?
Yeah, of course. Well, they can call my cell phone anytime. My cell phone number is 949-421-8733. And what? Call me, shoot me a text, and I can be reached. And I believe my email address is also on your...
Yeah, no, we'll get it out. And anybody who wants to see this portion of the show, just go to YouTube. It'll be up on Saturday or Sunday. Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. Parzad, thank you very much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Parzad Razi from N2 Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for listening in to the show. We're on each and every week. We're on 5 stations, 3 different states. We're from Albuquerque up to Las Vegas, Nevada, up to Tahoe area. And we're also in Southern California in the Inland Empire, San Bernardino and Riverside counties. A couple of great stations down there. We're also on 10 different podcasts. Daryl, you got a list of those for me, please?
I sure do, Jeff. It's Apple Podcasts, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and Podclips.io.
Podclips.io is a new Podclips center where you can go there. They have a lot of different lifestyle and health and sports and financial. That's the section I'm in. But they gather some experts in the field and are presenting podcasts in a certain way. It's really good. Go to it. Check it out. If you want to see me, go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. We're a channel there. We have hundreds of shows. We do some how-to videos, like how to find a realtor in five easy steps, or what's a 30-year fixed rate loan like, and we try to do that within 5 minutes, get it out of the way and done, as well as our weekly, we call it the Mortgage Minute, even though it's the Mortgage 5 Minute, and we do that on LinkedIn, Facebook, and a number of other social medias. Now that we've gotten the big commercial out of the way, I wanted to welcome back to the show Rebecca Fitzgerald, who has been on this show many times and returns after a little bit of time away, I guess, had a lot of new experiences in her life, as well as explaining to us something about both markets in Texas as well as in Las Vegas. Rebecca, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you very much for asking. So, okay. So you're traveling, you're working, you're getting your broker's license. I had a question about that. I know that for many people out there, moving into a different field or getting, I guess, more opportunity to do more with the broker's license, what made you decide to go that direction, and how have you found it moving towards that goal?
I originally took the class because I was trying to get my niece inspired to do her real estate agent license. She didn't take the inspiration, but anyway, I went forward to get the license because I wanted to show her, you know, look, people can do things in life. She's young. And so anyhow, it pushed me forward to get it. And then, you know, a lot of opportunities, just telling people, like, you know, there's some opportunities I have with the hard money lender I have, and just different opportunities where you can use your license with different ways that you wouldn't think of necessarily just doing residential real estate. Once you start telling people I'm going to do a broker, you know, the world kind of opens up to different opportunities.
I think I agree with that completely. I think inspiration to others is a good reason to do anything, but realizing also that the opportunities you get as a broker and the respect and the way that people, you know, can do business, obviously as a broker.
I really agree with the respect thing. It's one thing that's really always kind of bothered me is to promote somebody else's company.
Right.
It just has always bugged me, so I've never really done a lot of marketing for myself. I've always done, you know, a lot of off-market deals and the flips and, you know, different things that obviously we know about. But that has always bugged me, so I'm very excited to be able to market myself.
Okay, so if you plan to move into that realm, and we're getting into a situation now with a COVID ending, a lot of new businesses will be opening, obviously old businesses, yes, but there's so many unemployed. Do you recommend something like a running your own business or opening up in the real estate world as a new profession just because, you know, it gives you the opportunity, as you said, but also it gives you the freedom and, I guess, the ability to do things you might not be able to do working for another company.
Right. Are you asking questions?
Yeah, I was just sort of pontificating, but in the course of it, I was trying to ask you, do you like doing what you're doing as an independent, building your own business, or, you know, how do you see that?
Obviously, like, I kind of am a control freak, so I would prefer to run my own business. It irks me to give somebody money for absolutely nothing. Especially when I know that I have the experience and I have the education to move forward with that. So I don't see a point. I mean, you're never going to know 100% of everything in real estate. And there's always people like you I can call and other people in the industry that I can call if I actually need help. The brokers, for the most part, and these big companies aren't around. I
haven't
even met this guy.
They are not.
You know? So how would I know who to they don't help you right now as is. They sign you up and they never speak to you.
Tell me something about the flip business. You had done some flips. You have made money in the flip business.
Yes.
Do you see it still?
I made money in the flip business. There will always be money to make in the flip business. Right now, the real problem is these contractors are slammed like no one's ever seen. You know, there's some painters that are out a month. It's just insane. I don't know if some people don't want to work, but I don't think that's the case. I really believe there's a lot of money in renovations because the cost of lumber is so high and they can't put houses up fast enough so people can move into them.
It's interesting. The price of lumber in today's market actually decreased by 40%, but it had gone up about 300% over the last year. So I guess it's somewhat of a reprieve.
I mean, I particularly think that everything's going to go up, but I'm trying to get as much debt as I can right now because it's causing so much inflation. So whatever debt I'm getting now, I'm not going to be worth much in the next 5 years, right?
That's so interesting. I agree with that 100%. Obviously, the debt that you get today, this is why rates are going to go up because they're going to have to sell bonds at a higher rate in order to be able to, you know, justify the inflation that we're getting into, which everybody seems to want. I don't know why, but they do.
It's the older people that are really going to be, you know, screwed because their money change doesn't change. Their savings doesn't change. And if you hand somebody $4,000 and left didn't work for it, that $4,000 that you saved while you were working, is it much for somebody who's 70? They just kind of screwed you. And, your 6% consumer price increase that was, like, in 1 month or something, that means eggs and all these things are going to force older people to have to sell their homes, unfortunately.
Where are you doing most of your business now? In Vegas? In Texas?
Vegas.
In Vegas. Okay. What do you see as the major opportunity there, or are there any?
There's a lot of development opportunities, I would think. Apartments, condos, things like this, or some sort of, if somebody has some sort of vision that could do some sort of something different, where you could offer maybe tiny homes or prefab homes with smaller yards to kind of, you know, get over the whole lack of land issue.
Right. Well, Vegas is hard because not only is there lack of land, but it's also really hot in the summer, so I don't know how much outside time people want to get anyway. And the drought situation out there is not getting any better.
Well, people are snatching up condos, you know, practically
right,
as they're snatching up single-family residences, aren't they?
Well, still, so, yeah, right, I guess.
And that aspect, people do want yards, even in Vegas.
Oh, that's funny, you know, and I've been going out there since 04. I can't imagine. Well, here, I'm in Southern California today. It's 109. I shouldn't even really talk, you know. I mean, in Vegas, sitting outside at night, I guess it is pleasant, you know. I just can't imagine it myself. The opportunities that
it's
you...
It's not terrible, but it is bad if you have pets. That's the main issue I have.
What are they doing at Lake Mead? Are they trying to give more water from the Colorado River? I mean, I saw some pictures the other day that was just horrifying.
The drought out there?
Yeah, just the drought.
I don't know. You know, it goes up and down. Lake Mead was full. I went out there last summer. It was fine.
Right.
it's not the same thing like Texas. You know, sometimes they have droughts and their lakes go thin, but they come back. It's just nature.
No, I agree with that completely. It's just when you have growth the way that they're predicting in Vegas, especially since we've seen, since I've been out there, it's doubled in size, and it probably is not going to stop because people from California are moving there because it's, you know, you sell your house here, you go out there, you buy all cash, and still have a couple hundred thousand dollars in the bank. So I think that...
Correct, but I don't see how that affects the water levels of Lake Mead.
Only because of the need, you know. More people out there,
right,
more need.
Right, there's lakes in Texas at the same way. And,
right.
You know, sometimes they have droughts and sometimes, you know, they have rainstorms all summer long and the lakes get full. That's just nature. I don't think it has to do with the amount of people that are in the city.
Well, now that's an interesting perspective. And obviously, you know, one that a lot of people share. You're not the only one. Listen, we're up against the clock.
Right.
Shout out your phone number for people or a way that they can get in touch with you if they need a terrific agent out there in the Vegas area.
512-923-3489, Jeff.
Hey, Rebecca, it's great to talk to you. Great to hear from you. I really, I'm excited about what you're doing in life and really want to keep up with you just because, you know, when you go into something new, you want to be a broker, moving and shaking. Yeah, it's good. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's Rebecca Fitzgerald, and you're currently at Keller Williams, right? Or did you just leave there?
Yeah, I am currently... at Keller Williams until they prove my license.
Right, exactly. Well, it's again, congratulations, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks very much for coming on the show.
Great, Jeff.
Thank you. And I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. This week is a good week. Federal Open Market Committee meeting, some of the other economic news. You know, the economic news and how it affects rates, it's funny because depending on what channel you watch, what website you go to, everybody is going to tell you that this is the main thing affecting rates and that you have to watch this particular indices or this particular matrix or you have to look at the overall COVID numbers. There are so many voices out there trying to tell you what makes rate a rate. Now, we always talk about the 10-year bond. Why? Because it usually goes in tandem with rates. And so we say, okay, if you want to know what your rate's going to be tomorrow or next week, you want to look at the 10-year note. The 10-year bond, what is the 10-year bond? Obviously, it's debt. It's the U.S. Treasury debt sold in 10-year increments. Currently, today, I think it's about a point and a half, and we've been hovering in this range for 3 months. Now, at the same time, rates have risen. And they're, you know, they're kind of up and down, but they're hovering right around 3. I think, what did I quote it today being? 3.12, something like that. And there's those two things that go together. You have the bond yield, and that's what we're talking about. If you want to buy a bond, you get a yield of this. And the reason the yields go up is because they have to make the bond as attractive as possible for investors. Investors want to buy something and get a return on something. Now, for a long time during COVID, that return was less than half a point on 10-year bonds. It's now a point and a half, which is good for the bondholders, but it might not be bad. It might not be good for you, the mortgage person who's out there looking for a loan at the lowest rate possible. That's why you see when the yields go up, that's the bond, you're going to see the rates go up too. And both of these things happen in all economies. As we've talked about in the past, this particular economy, we have Fed help. And the Fed is, you know, the quasi-governmental agency. Actually, they're not governmental, but they do regulate monetary policy here in the U.S. Currently, what we have is a bond-buying spree by the Fed at the tune of $80 billion a month. That's what they buy for treasuries, mortgage-backed securities, also at $40 billion a month. So $120 billion a month that the Fed has been spending all through COVID, and that's now we're at 15 months. So you add that up, that's a big number. That is added to their balance sheet. I think it's, oh my gosh, I want to say, I might get this wrong. So if I get it wrong and you know it's right, you know I haven't looked it up yet. It's $4 trillion plus dollars is the Fed balance sheet. Now, again, that's a big number. And both of these things, determining rate, is what we've been told to look at. Well, we've got a new player in the field and something else you have to look at. And yes, I'm going to do the same thing I told you everybody else is doing and make it confusing for you. Inflation. Now, the U.S. government debt is based on low inflation numbers. So if you say, okay, I'm going to pay you a point and a half, 150 basis points if you buy a bond from me. And I'm going to do that if you give me 102% of the bond amount to the cost, and we'll give you back every year 150 basis points or a point and a half of that line. So in the long term, over 10 years, you're making money. It's a safe bet. It's treasuries. And, you know, that's what happens. Now, there's a secondary market for that where they trade these things back and forth. So you're not stuck in this for 10 years if you don't want to be. But that's a whole different subject. The selling of U.S. debt and why U.S. debt is so attractive to people is because for the last, oh my gosh, since inflation didn't become a problem, since, I don't know, the late 80s when it was really bad, through the 90s, 2000s, and probably 25, 30 years, inflation has not been an issue in the U.S. Well, we are starting to see inflation be an issue in the U.S., and it affects bonds. It affects bond prices, and it eventually is going to affect mortgage rates. And I'll explain just quickly. I know this is not the most fascinating stuff, but it does. If you're out there looking for a loan, you want to have the best rate possible. We talked in the earlier segment about some of the things that you need to do personally. This is stuff you have nothing to do with, but it's something to watch because watching it gives you at least knowledge of what's coming. So we see inflation. We heard that the Fed wanted inflation numbers, you know, above 2% for a certain period of time, hovering around 2.5%. Well, it's running higher than that. It's about 3%. Now, you might say 3%. I remember when Carter was president, it was 18, 19%. Right. But those days are long gone. And as I said, inflation hasn't been an issue for the last 25 years. So now we're from 2 to under 2% to close to 3% now. And how does that affect mortgage rates? So you buy a bond today at 2%, right? Inflation, that means the worth of your money, is now 1% less a year later. But you're expecting a return based on 2% inflation. So now the bond that you bought is now underwater. So any future bonds that you're going to buy, you better be guaranteed that you make money, especially if inflation is going to continue to grow. So what does that mean? That means that the Fed has to sell the bond with a yield higher than 1.5%. Now, we've heard predictions that 3%, that's doubling what it is now. Well, what do you think that's going to do to interest rates on your mortgage? If the bond they're selling to predict what the rate is going to be doubles in the yield it has to offer and probably lowers the price, you're definitely going to have to see a rise in mortgage rates because somebody's got to pay for this. And if it's in the best interest of the Fed and the economy to have your rate instead of being 3% to being 4.5% and 5%, you bet that's coming. And at this inflation rate that we have right today, yeah, that's what's happening. And that's what everybody's worried about. They're not worried about necessarily food prices going up because they fluctuate anyway. They fluctuate with the weather. They fluctuate with demand. They fluctuate based on whatever is happening in that particular local market. They're worried about big ticket bond, and how do we sell U.S. debt, and what that U.S. debt is going to do to the inflation rate itself affecting mortgage interest rates. These are the things that are going to affect you. So based on what I said earlier about what you can do personally, and these things which you cannot help, and this is way beyond anything we've really talked about. Why? Because inflation hasn't been a problem. We haven't had to worry about inflation the entire, oh my gosh, even through the last mortgage meltdown back in 2008 when Dodd-Frank came in and all the heavy regulations and all the strict guidelines on how to get a loan, making sure that that loan was tight as heck. The monetary policy at the Fed really went on the basis of trying to have inflation at 2%, but didn't. Now, the labor market that currently is affecting a lot of this has to do with the fact that people aren't going to go back to work the way they were working before COVID. Now, we've talked about it. It could be several different reasons. One of the reasons, obviously, is the political football, right? The $300 extra payments. But that goes away in 27 states like this month. And in September, it goes away in all the states. So that's a very minimal time. It's more about COVID. It's more about childcare. And it's more about opportunity of what is out there in the marketplace. And part of the inflation is the increase in wages that you have to pay in order to get a qualified employee, in order to get somebody who knows what they're doing. Now, my little company, I've got a person who is currently injured. Hired him maybe 6 months ago. Now, the mortgage industry has been booming. I have no complaints. But to get a person to come to work on a daily basis is not only about money, it's about trying to accommodate the worker experience that they want to have. It's way more than just dollars and cents. And this is the changing nature that's happening also in the workplace, which contributes to the inflationary pressures. Now, these are economic terms, but really, if you want somebody to work for you and you want them to work well, you have to not only pay them better, but you also have to accommodate the needs, whether it's work at home or whether it's certain stipulations of days off or however it works in your particular industry, all leading to you possibly paying higher in interest rates on your mortgage loan. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Really appreciate you listening today. It's been a heck of a lecture. Sorry about all that. And we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.